CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Mark Pisig, the author of the new book, N4 Down, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship Italia. But not yet. All great failures expeditions have predicates that set up the failure. And this is a success, sort of. It is 1926. And in a place called Kings Bay, they've constructed a hangar by hand, and it's weathered the winter. And in March of 1926, approaching Norway, approaching the northern tip of Norway for the launch to the North Pole, is N1, which has been specially rebuilt from a luxury craft for cruising the Mediterranean, a lighter-than-aircraft, to an Arctic explorer. And Nobile's done it. Mark, what do we know about Nobile's change of N1 into the Norgay? What's he done to it?
Well, one of the key things is, well, basically the key thing is make it lighter so you can carry more fuel. So that means getting rid of the gondola as it was. As you said, it was this kind of luxury thing for the king and his entourage to kind of fly around the Italian Mediterranean processions. So that was stripped out, made a lot lighter. I mean, although the phone was kept, perhaps, I imagine nobody has an idea of coming back to Italy and the king riding in his airship again. And it was things like the valve inlets to the envelope, trying to protect things from the ice, you know, because, you know, everyone warned him that if you're going to take an airship up into the North Pole, one of the biggest dangers is ice forming on top of the great envelope. Because this airship was about the size of an A380. You know, so it's a huge craft, and all that could be covered in ice. So it's, you know, how do we protect that from ice? I mean, it's that kind of thing. Basically, making it lighter, so you can carry more fuel, go further, and kind of protect against the ice.
Let's take them off, because there are a lot of details here, and there's lots of tension between the Norwegians and the Italians, between Nobile and Amundsen. On board is Nobile as the captain, Amundsen as the great explorer. The pilot advisor is Reiser Larsen, Amundsen's lieutenant. There's also a scientist on board, Holmgren. They lift off and they fly direct to the North Pole and circle it and drop a flag at from 600 feet. It's a success.
And, fantastic.
And yet the success has contradictions, because Amundsen finds himself a passenger. Did I read that correctly, Mark? He resents the fact that he's not commanded this expedition.
Well, I think he's normally in command, and the big thing is he sits down in this chair, in the captain's chair, and from nobody's perspective, he doesn't really move, doesn't really do anything, and leaves the piloting to other people. So it's a question of, like, I guess you could say he's the figurehead, and Nobile is doing the kind of hard work along with a few other people, and perhaps Reiser Larsen as his kind of co-pilot, maybe.
They fly over the North Pole. They fly on to Alaska. And now they've been running into constantly bad weather. Holmgren is the meteorologist, always giving them positive forecasts that don't work out. They're flying blind. Is that it, Mark? They're in a fog.
Yes, right. At times, blinded through mountains, which is always fun.
They have a radio on board. Are they in contact with anyone as they cross over into Alaska?
They are to a point, and then you have this period of kind of radio silence where they kind of fall between different radio stations, a range of different radio stations. Or if you're cynical, kind of, I once Googled, for a talk I did last week at the Explorers Club in New York, I Googled Amundsen missing in the New York Times archive, and there's over 100 entries. If you were cynical, Amundsen going missing is a kind of a trick you'd regularly play in his expeditions, because you boost up the ratings, you boost up the demand, you get the headlines. So there's some cynicism about the kind of the airship's kind of radio silence.
Radio silence, but they do reach Alaska. They see an Inuit village. They decide not to land. They're on for Nome. And at this point, because I knew they were going to live, I thought, well, how do you get out of this one? Nobile makes the decision to land without a village, without a pole.
Yeah.
And he manages that in crosswinds? No, does he land in nowhere, or is there a village where they land?
He lands in a place called Teller, which is just short of Nome.
I see. And he then has to destroy the airship because they can't anchor it. So he's destroyed N1, but they leave Alaska for Seattle on June 27th, and he's feted all the way across America. Is that correct?
Yeah,
he's in the newspapers from Seattle to Washington.
But he is, yeah.
And does Amundsen get the attention in the same journey?
I think Amundsen does get some attention, but he elicits a bit of a generalization, basically kind of slinks off, kind of assaults off in a way, because he obviously expected to be the hero, and suddenly it's nobody's the hero, and I think he finds it quite difficult to deal with. So he basically kind of heads home. I mean, clearly he does get some attention. We don't want to simplify this too much, but it's nobody is the hero. Nobody is called the new Columbus. Nobody is, meets the president. Nobody is greeted at, New York City town, to City Hall, and things like that. No, all the crowds are Italians. I mean, you've got to remember, this is almost like a battle for diasporas, two diasporas, and the Norwegian diaspora, and the Italian diaspora. The Italian diaspora is huge. And they've also been organized. Again, the story, one of the dark undertones is the Fascist League, the American Fascist League, which is kind of organized the Italians. Amundsen was up against a lot, really, in terms of getting the column inches.
The success here is in headlines. And a subplot of your book, Mark, is that Nobile is aware you need to take along journalists. Amundsen's aware that journalists can be your best friend. Mussolini's aware. For heaven's sakes, everybody seems to be aware that journalism transports a crazy idea into legend. At the time, your reading of the newspaper sources, and you're a journalist, were the newspapers going along with this? Did they understand that they were being played?
Well, I suspect rather like some, recent political events in both our countries, the newspapers, wanting sales. And these characters, and to some extent, the battle between them generated sales. I mean, it was big news. And the New York Times, when the Nords reached the North Pole, they devoted three whole pages of the newspaper to it. I mean, this is big. This is kind of big money, I guess.
Despite the fact that the Nords was in the possession of Benito Mussolini, who was no friend.
He'd sold it to the Norwegians at that point.
I understand, but that's a fig leaf because they dropped an Italian flag over the North Pole, is my memory.
And it's the biggest of the two,
Right. If you wanted to find something edgy here, it would be the fact that Mussolini is boasting of the success of his fascist state, but.
Yeah,
I'm laying on 21st century politics.
No. He clearly was. I mean, clearly this was a agenda. He took a personal interest in this fight. He was very keen to boost the support of his regime in the diasporas in North America, Australia, and South America. And that was clearly one of the agendas. He wanted to portray Italian fascism as modernizing the country, modernizing the aviation industry. I don't think that's reading into it. I think that was very clearly. And that's part of what the stakes were for Nobile as well. He wasn't just trying to achieve his own goals. He had all this other stuff behind him. And I don't think Amundsen ever really appreciated the stakes on the Italian side so much.
In this instance, and we'll turn now to the big expedition in 28. In this instance, it reminds me of how the Soviet Union used Sputnik and then the Gagarin flight.
Yes, absolutely.
To vindicate their brutality by saying we're progressive.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly the same playbook.
We're going to the North Pole, and this time we're not going to make it successfully. N4 Down is the book, The Hunt for the Arctic Airship. Italia, Mark Peising is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basham.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.